Good afternoon, my conscious co-creators. Good morning, good evening, wherever you're tuning in from. Welcome to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. I am very, very pleased that you are all here with me today. We've got another wonderful show in store for you. Hopefully, my guest will be showing up. And if not, we will just have a conversation between you and me. So, please feel free to comment on the live stream, post your comments, your questions. Let's make this an interactive session. All right. Thank you all for tuning in. And of course, as we always do, we start off with my blog post from a couple of years ago, just kind of taking these in order. And today's blog post is entitled "Real Presence is the Only Answer to Feeling Disconnected." There is so much in our world that separates and distracts us. Everything from social media to the news, it can be hard to find common ground, something that we can agree upon. Or even something we can just talk about without getting upset. We have a hard time to even just be present to the person who is with us, to give them our full attention, as our phones buzz us with a message from someone else far away. It can be easy to make the person who is not in the room with us more important than the person standing right in front of us. So we disconnect with what we already have for something we hope to have. Maybe it is the person who is with us makes us feel uncomfortable in some ways. And because of that, we would rather try to connect with someone who is not here. The distraction can give us some needed space, or it can be a way to avoid what we do not want to deal with. Either way, we get disconnected to the present moment. We feel disconnected to the person who is with us. Using our devices to replace that connection with a facsimile of connection. Yet that is not real connection. It is possible to feel more connected with someone who is miles away or on the other side of the world. Without the physical proximity, though, we still feel disconnected and alienated. Which gives us one more reason to separate from the world around us. Real connection only happens when we have an experience of another person in the physical world. To hold and be held, or to laugh and cry together, and experience human touch. Comfort and caring. That only happens when we are with the person we care about and who cares about us. The connection in the physical world is about so much more than a physical relationship. True presence creates that kind of connection. It nourishes our soul and feeds our heart. So is it any wonder why so much of this world feels disconnected and alone? How much time and effort to put towards being present to the people who surround us? How much time and effort do we put towards being present to the people who surround us? There is no substitute. It may not always be pleasant to truly be with what is happening right in front of us. Yet presence is the only antidote for disconnection. And the miracle that might happen is that as we are present, to the uncomfortable and unwanted situations, we may find a deeper connection, far deeper than any virtual or long distance connection. Are you truly giving your full presence to those around you? So this actually is a very personal post that, I mean, I really, in some ways, can't take credit for it because this is from conversations that me and my wife had. And my wife, who's a therapist, talked about her a lot on the show. She truly has the ability to be present with people. But I, like many people, you know, I can get distracted by my phone easily, but with technology, since I'm with technology all the time. People message me. And so she often will call me out for not being that present with her in the room, or for just not being present in some situation that she happens to be there. And so this blog post is really a post to myself more than anyone else. It's really about reminding myself how important connection and presence is in this world. How being with the people who are in the same room with us, it's priceless. It can be uncomfortable. It can be not what we want. And yes, I speak from experience. But it's the human experience. It's what we're here for. I've many times I've gone to a restaurant with my wife or a friend, and I look around and I see the young people there. And there'll be two young people having a meal together, and they're both on their phones texting away. And I just wonder, like, the whole point of eating a meal together is to be with each other, is to communicate, is to have that presence with each other. And that when we're on our phones, we're kind of missing the whole point. And it just fascinates me that we can be so disconnected from the people who are right in front of us. And not, you know, give them our attention. Not give them the honor, not give them the respect of giving them our attention. And I'm sure you've all experienced it yourselves. I'm sure you've had the experience of you're with someone and something happens, they get buzzed, and in the middle of the conversation, they got to look at their phone, and then they're replying to some text or email or direct message, and suddenly they're gone. You're in the middle of a conversation with them, and suddenly they're not there. How do you feel when that happens? How do you deal with the lack of presence with the person who's right there in the room with you? It doesn't feel good. We are in the middle of a conversation, and their phone or some piece of technology takes them out of presence. And that's why we feel disconnected with people. That's why we hide behind our screens. We back up, and that connection with a human being suddenly evaporates. And so, as much as this blog post is a call to myself to remind me to be more present with the person I'm in the room with, it is also me casting a stone into the lake that I hope the ripples, that someone can hear it, and that someone out there who can self-reflect and notice themselves and maybe notice how they are not as present to the people in the room with them as they could be. So that is my blog post. It is entitled, "Real Presence is the Only Answer to Feeling Disconnected." And of course, you can always find my blog on my personally branded website, theconsciousconsultant.com, as well as on the station's website at talkradio.nyc/blog. All right. Now, it is my pleasure to welcome to the show Jeff Abraham, CEO of Promisant, a sexual wellness company he has led for more than a decade. But Jeff's story is not really a product story. It is the story of what happens when someone chooses to run a business by a different set of rules, where loyalty, integrity, and honoring the people who came before is treated as non-negotiable, not optional. After discovering a groundbreaking treatment developed by urologist Dr. Ronald Gilbert, Jeff invested in the product, becoming the majority owner, and launched what became the company's flagship offering. Since 2013, he has built it into a full-spectrum wellness company with more than 5 million bottles sold and over 4,000 healthcare professionals recommending the brand. Welcome to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Jeff.
My pleasure to be here.
All right. Glad you made it. Glad you made it. So, you know, this show is, and the reason why I wanted to bring you on after we met was not so much the story around the company and the product, but how you run the company, how you developed it, how you brought it forward. So, if you could just give us I gave a little bit background, but give us like how this company came about, why you stepped into the leadership position, and how you're running the company that's different from how most people run a company.
We were founded by a urologist. So the company had its roots in science and a physician. In fact, a physician who was very unique, who didn't put profitability and money as his sole focus. His focus was he was a healer. He was a doctor on helping people. He happened to be lived near me. He was my doctor. He was my friend. We hung out socially. And one day when he told me that he had started this endeavor and asked me for my help, I said, sure, I'd be interested. And It was fascinating because I had just sold my business. I owned a semiconductor engineering business.
All
You
right.
can't have a more circuitous route to being the CEO of a sexual wellness company than running a semiconductor engineering business. But it was intriguing, and it was something different. I had retired, and I didn't realize that I wasn't that interesting until I retired, because I raised my son as a single father and had this business that I grew from nothing until something very substantive. And it literally took up 24/7, you know, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. And all of a sudden my son left for college and I retired, and I went, how am I going to fill all day, every day? And so I started helping Ron out. One thing led to another. And I wrote him a business plan, and they thought it was very, very unique and genius. And I said, that's because you guys are doctors and I'm a businessman. What I do, you guys invent products. Let me do the marketing and run the business. And it came to a point where they actually asked me to take over the company. I agreed. Uh-huh. And to be quite honest with you, I never looked back. I enjoyed it. And certainly when Ron was alive and he was there, I ran things in his image as this healer, as a physician. Unfortunately, Ron was murdered in a case of mistaken identity very early on in 2013. I had taken over in 2011. So the story has kind of a tragic component to it. And I almost moved on and just said, I don't want to do this anymore, because part of the reason for doing it was helping Ron. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's one of those things that when you really sit back and you think about something and you go, what can I do? I realized I'm not God. I can't bring him back. He was murdered. And it was tragic, and it was mistaken identity. It was crazy.
Wow. And
I realized the only thing in my power was to give him a legacy, to make sure this company had legs and people remembered it and honored him, and to provide for his family. His wife and his two sons were very dear to me. They were wonderful people. And I thought, the only thing in my power are those two things, and I'd like to be able to do that for him. I really would. So I did. And fortunately, it went really, really well. And I was very happy to do it. But we've never strayed. We've never wavered. Every employee during the interview process, and all of our employees know the history of the company, Ron, what he meant, how we're founded. We don't put profitability first. We really believe that our job is to help people, is to make people's lives better, is to lead through science, and to make sure that we build on that trust. We're very successful now. We have a number of products. Our hero product is still our best product, and our leading product is the spray to allow men to last a lot longer in bed. Mm-hmm. And it is now everywhere. It's in Walmart. It's in CVS. It's in Target. It's in Wegmans. It's in Meijer. It's at HEB. Next spring, we launch in Walgreens. So we'll be everywhere.
Wow.
And I realized early on that we had this devoted following. We sold over 5 million bottles now, if you can believe that.
Wow.
And we started off as a small, underfunded little company that just grew and became very successful and very profitable. But by doing things the right way, our goal isn't to have 10 trillion people to try it and get everyone to try it once and make a lot of money and no one comes back because it doesn't work. Mm-hmm. Our goal has been to have a product that works and very slowly get integrated and have people try it, like it, not only come back and continue to use it, but tell their friends about it. Hey, you want better intimacy? This really helps.
Mm-hmm.
But then we've now launched other products because of the success. People trust us. And, you know, when I first launched some lubes, it was made sense. You know, like if you're lasting 12 seconds, you don't really need a lube. All of a sudden you're lasting 10 minutes. You go, hey, I might need some additional products. So that makes sense. Then we start branching out into some supplements, which increase blood flow, give you better just overall vitality. And people said, well, that's a reach. You know, I'm not sure you're not known for that. I said, let me tell you something. We have a trusted base of people that buy our products. And that took off immediately. And then I said, and I talked to my customers. That's one of the things that Ron always did to his patients. So we reach out and we talk. And a lot of them, it became the fastest growing segment in sexual wellness for vibrators, both men's and women's masturbatory products. So we introduced some custom vibrators. And I remember people go, oh, now that's really a stretch. Those are electronic devices. That's not what you're known for. I said, I don't think you get it. We're known for delivering quality, cost-effective products that work. Okay. Our people are obviously sexually active. If they're buying testosterone booster, if they're buying delay spray, if they're buying nitric oxide supplements to increase blood flow, they're obviously having intimacy. And those products took off just like everything else. And it's interesting because I send an email out to the first 100 people that buy whatever new product that we introduce. And it's almost like the same person writes everyone with just slightly different wording, because it's something along the lines of, I love your delay spray. I love your organic aloe vera lube. Blah, blah. And I knew if it was on this site that it was quality and you would stand behind it 100%, because we have a 30-day money-back guarantee on every product that we have. And that gives me a lot of satisfaction. It gives me a lot of pride because we have that reputation of doing things differently. And as you stated in the intro, we have over 4,000 doctors that recommend our products. And the reason that we know that for a fact, the only way to get on that list, if someone buys the product, and we have something called Zigpol, which only 4% of people now fill out, okay? And it says, how did you find us? And it'll say, Dr. Mohit Kira, Baylor University, who happens to be the president of the Sexual Medicine Society of North America, is a huge proponent of ours. Dr. Wayne Hellstrom, the president of the International Society of Sexual Medicine, same thing. So the only way to get on that list, if someone buying our product names you, okay, we're not, well, this guy told us that he recommended us. The only way to get included on that list is to have someone buy a product and say, this doctor told me. So I think we actually have 3,300 urologists and about 700 sexual therapists that are on record. We know that someone bought our product and said, this physician recommended you. We take extreme pride in that. I mean, I can't tell you that, because there's no other products out there that has more than 10, let alone 4,000. And that's because we have clinical trials. We spent $750,000 doing clinical trials, and they're IRB certified and statistically significant. They're legitimate clinical trials. They were done at University of Kentucky Sexual Wellness Center by Dr. Kristen Mark, and it was authored by Ian Kerner. And that worked out really, really well. It put us on the map, because a lot of therapists, a lot of urologists, they'll take anecdotal evidence that customers say it works. And believe it or not, and I firmly believe this now, I believe a lot of urologists, even some therapists, get into sexual wellness because they want to improve their own sex lives. Because they, I swear to you, I can't tell you how many times, you know, before I had a semiconductor engineering business. I'm not familiar with medicine. So when I first got into this, you know, would be at one of the trade shows. We just got back from stimulus.
Let me ask you a question, because this isn't your first business.
No.
But the way you run the business is what I want to focus on, is relatively unique. Is this something that you learned in your prior business, or was this something that just evolved from getting involved with this business?
It basically was the way I ran my last business as well. But most importantly, it's the way that I conduct my life. Okay. I don't know, your listeners obviously don't know me, have no background on me. I was born into a definitely lower middle class family. We were poor, to be quite frank with you. And I remember growing up, I was very aware that we didn't have a lot of money. But I was also very aware that I was loved. And I was also very aware that I had excellent guidance from both my mom and dad, who adored me. And a lot of young boys, when they're young, especially 8, 10, 12 years old, they dream about being on the cover of Sports Illustrated scoring a touchdown in the Super Bowl. They dream about winning the NBA Finals. They dream about being on People's Magazine's Sexiest Man of the Year. They dream about being a movie star. I was a reasonable athlete, but certainly not going to make my living at it. So I never had that fantasy about being on the cover of Sports Illustrated. I looked in a mirror, went, I don't think modeling and being, you know, People Magazine is in my future. I wanted to be a businessman from the time that I was young. And the way that I envision things, as, because I worked for regular companies for about 8 to 10 years to learn and get everything down before I started my own business. And it became very obvious to me that it's very, very unique that you'll have a product that is so breakthrough that it's just head and shoulders above everything else. There's always generally a couple choices, but people do business with people they trust and they like. Okay. So you have to be ethical. You have to be a person of your word, a man or woman of your word. If you make a promise, you keep it. Okay. And you don't make promises without having intention of keeping those promises. And it became obvious to me that at the end of the day, when people have a choice to make on what business or service or person they're going to do business with, you have to be technically competent. So the products have to meet the technical need. They have to do what they're expected to do. Right. And then you have to be ethical. They have to trust you. If they don't trust you, they're not going to do business with you. Then it comes down that maybe there's two different choices where we trust you, you have a good product. And then it comes down to who can I count on? Who do I like? Who do I enjoy being around? So I tell all my employees, you know, that it's very important that we're, you know, very responsive, that we're ethical, we do things the right way, and people feel valued. People really feel like their happiness is important to us and their satisfaction with our product is important to us. That's why we have the guarantees we have. So we go that extra mile and we are really, really successful now. We're one of the fastest growing companies in this space. And we just got back from a show called Stimulate in Nashville. And people kept coming up to the booth. All my employees kept telling me, people come up and go, what's your secret? And what do you mean, what's our secret? The whole category is down right now, you know, the blah, blah, blah. And you guys are up and thriving and growing. And we just have this buzz. We just have this juice. And it's because of who we are and what we do. People have asked me, how many new products are you going to introduce this year? And it's funny. I say somewhere between 0 and 6. And they're like, what? I said, somewhere between 0 and 6. They go, shouldn't you have a goal of like 3 or 4? I said, no. Let me tell you my criteria for introducing a new product. If we introduce a new product, we have to identify the need, the product area. And we have to develop a product that's at least as good, if not better, than everything else in that space. If the first time we put up a meh product that people go, not as good, we lose that ability that we have now. It's inherent in the brand. If it's on our site, people automatically order it. If they go, I'm using this from someone else, why not get it here? I'm getting my lubes. I'm getting my vibrators. I'm getting my delay spray. I'm getting my female arousal gels here. I'm going to buy this here as well because I know it's as good. So I tell people the first time we introduce a product that doesn't meet those standards, we lose that trust and we're never going to lose that trust. So when I say between 0 and 6, because we don't have the bandwidth to introduce more than 6 products in a year, we're not that big of a company. If I don't find a product that literally is as good, if not better than everything else in the category, it'll be 0. We're not going to introduce any me-too run-of-the-mill products. So it's important to us that we maintain that standard. That's why I say between 0 and 6. I'd love to find 6 every year, but that's not possible.
Right.
So when we find a product or develop a product that fits that criteria, we will introduce it. If we don't, we will stick with exactly what we have and grow organically. We grow every year and we'll grow organically because our growth will come from, like last year, we got into CVS, we got into Meijer, we got into Wegmans.
Yeah. So getting more distribution.
We're getting more distribution. And our website is robust. We're the number one best-selling sexual enhancement product on Amazon, which we're very proud of. So we're not a one-legged stool. We have our own website, our own distribution. We have the online presence with Amazon. We have the retail distribution, which we're very proud of. And we're starting. We never made a push, but just recently, we've been very fortunate because we're starting to get a lot of business in the adult stores now. Because I never made that a priority. But there's a lot of people. Adult stores are no longer in the back alleys. They're no longer something. They're in, some of them are very upscale and they're in really, really nice areas. And people are much more open about visiting adult stores now. And so there's a couple, London Boutique in New York City and Playtime Boutique and some of these that discovered us on their own, start buying the product, and we start really doing well. And so I said, hey, why don't we make a push? So we just got into Adam and Eve, which we're very proud of. It's a huge chain. So that's another area of growth for us now that we're getting integrated into the adult channel. So we would like to add new products to help facilitate the growth that we're hoping for and anticipating. But that's not the only way. By getting new channels of distribution is another way that we feel that there's a lot of growth.
Okay, let's take a pause here. I got to take a quick break.
Okay.
When we come back, I really want to highlight sort of the difference between you run the company and the way most companies are run,
Okay.
and sort of what you've also learned in the process of running the company in this fashion. That it's something where you've grown yourself in the process of running the company this way. So I'd like to talk about that a little bit.
Perfect.
Awesome. So everyone, please stay tuned. You're listening to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. We do this every Wednesday, 12 noon to 1 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on talkradio.nyc and all over social media. And we'll be right back with our guest, Jeff Abraham, in just a moment. Are you a spiritual seeker? Are you interested in expanded states of reality? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant. And on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will dive into these topics with authors, teachers, researchers, and guides. Tune in at our new time, Wednesdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Wednesdays, 12 noon Eastern on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.
Welcome back to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. We're speaking this hour with Jeff Abraham, CEO of Promisent, a sexual wellness company. But, you know, this show isn't really about the products. It's about the unique way in which Jeff runs the company, which is why I wanted to bring him on. So, Jeff, I wanted to ask you, you know, you've talked a lot about being focused on quality, on integrity, on putting out a quality product that you can stand behind. And these are principles that we know work, but why do you think so many business people don't do it? There are many CEOs out there that all they're trying to do is maximize shareholder profitability, make more money, you know, keep driving the stock price up. But you're taking such a different approach. I'm just wondering, you know, why do you think there's this disconnect, and why most people don't have this kind of an ethos around what they do?
I think it's very simple. I have a controlling interest in this company. Mm. So between my sizable investment and then really not taking a salary and just working and growing the company, mm, the value of the company has skyrocketed. So I've been rewarded with more additional equity. So even though I run everything all by our shareholders, we pay quarterly dividends, and I don't make any decisions without letting everyone be totally involved. And at the end of the day, I own over 50% of the company. So I don't have pressure like a lot of people have that, oh my God, we got to return this. Now, we have made great returns because we don't worry about the next quarter. We don't even worry about the next year. We worry about the next decade. How are we positioning ourselves? How are we going to grow? And I will take a step sideways to take two steps forward. A lot of people have the pressure of a board and have pressure of all their shareholders. In fact, some cases they might be a minority shareholder and, you know, they're hedge funds and they own a majority, and they give them the directive, you will make this kind of return this quarter. We need it for the stock price. We need it for our portfolio value, whatever. I don't have that kind of pressure. I really feel all my investors have gotten more than their money back well into that already. They still have their equity stake. They're getting dividends and they trust me. And they know that this company is doing gangbusters in every respect, both in growth and in profitability and everything else. And it's because the people that support us, that buy our products, love us. And we have insane repeat business. We really do. And it's because the products work and people trust them. They believe in them. Another thing that's been fortuitous and allowed us to really not have some of the pressure and stress that a lot of companies have, we don't have huge customer acquisition costs. You know, you read about where people go because so many people refer us to their friends and family members and all that kind of stuff. So we're very fortunate. Without Ron's brilliance, without that initial product that was so effective, we might not have. Now, I wouldn't run the company if I had to run it any other way because I retired. I'm not doing this for money. I'm very comfortable. I'm doing this to honor someone who was a mensch. He was just one of the most humble, decent human beings I've ever met. And I have a mission. And the mission is to honor him and to let people know what a great man Ron Gilbert was and what a quality human being he was. But at the same time, to provide for not only his family, but our shareholders, the majority of whom knew him. And believe it or not, we had to raise money to do our clinical trials. That's why we have shareholders. And we never had to hire a company and go out and do this prospectus. And, you know, I literally started calling urologists that had been familiar with us and were our product. And so our investors are all urologists that know Ron. So there's quite a few of us that realize what this is all about, that it's almost a higher calling. It's almost like, it's funny, money was never the singular objective is, which it is in most companies. But by not making it our singular focus, I think that's what's responsible for our success, is not literally worrying the first year. We got to return 20%. My investors saw nothing for the first 5 years. And I made that really clear to everyone. I said, you're not going, the whole play here was going to be building equity in this company and brand, and hopefully would get acquired in 5 to 6 years. And that's when you'll see a return on your investment. So the plan was never to pay dividends, but then we started growing and we started becoming profitable. So I started paying out these dividends, you know, and here we are now. And, you know, we would certainly one day like to be acquired by a nice big company, could take this to the next level and the level above that. But that day is not here right now. We're still growing. And I want to get to that next level before we do that. But it's almost like by taking the focus away from quarterly dividends and immediate profitability for that first 5 years, it set us on a path to extreme profitability and to by shunning the very things that we now do and not getting instant gratification and thinking long-term, it really set us up for the position we're in right now, which is being the envy of most companies in this space. There are companies that, you know, last year we did 13.4 million, I think. There are companies that did 50 million and broke even. And they're here, 13 million, you know, paying out $5 million in dividends to our shareholders.
Wow.
That's impossible. I go, no, it's possible. Yeah. That being said, our employees know that who we are, who we're honoring, everything we do, our employees are very well compensated, but there's no passengers here. There's we're not like a rowboat with two people sitting there and everyone else is rowing them. Dead weight. I have news for you. If you're in this company and you're dead weight, you get thrown overboard. Okay. You're either producing or you're not. You'll be compensated very well. We have a lot of fun. But when it's time to do business, and it's time to do business, and there's never anything unsaid. My style is, if I have anything to say, you will never hear it behind your back. Anyone else, I will call you directly and say, please explain that. You know what I mean? Like, I'm puzzled by that. But we're the type of company that if you make it past a year, you're generally here for the duration. Okay.
Gotcha.
If you wash out, it's going to be early on because you're not meeting expectations and whatever. It's not a good fit. But once you're here, you know how we operate. You know what's expected. And most people that work here love working here because they are well compensated and they have a chance to earn equity. And they're also in a position that they know that there's something really going on here that's special. You know, it's a great feeling.
So this is the second company that you've run this way.
Yes.
What challenges have you had in running this company that were different than the other company? Because it's a totally different industry for you.
Yeah. So the first company was a semiconductor engineering business. And we didn't advertise. We didn't, you know, it was like all knowledge gained from being in that industry. And it was a consulting thing where it was just all intellectual property. Mm-hmm. One of the things that I've learned is the world isn't fair in this, running this company. And big companies are vile and vicious and disgusting. And let me tell you something, I'm just being honest. Mm-hmm. Companies like Google, companies like Amazon, companies like Meta are predatory, absolutely predatory. Mm-hmm. And they literally give precedence and they give special treatment to big companies with deep pockets that in some cases are not ethical. Okay. Yeah. And we get taken down. Oh, this is, they treat us like we're a porn site. We have mm-hmm. clinical trials. We have the president of the Sexual Medicine Society of North America on our advisory board. We have the president of the International Society mm-hmm. on our advisory board. And our ads constantly get taken down. I mean, it's insane. I'm like, this is a study on premature ejaculation. It's a recognized disease state. It, like, are you kidding me? And we deal with that over and over and over again. And the companies that like Trojan, which is Church and Dwight, the companies like Reckitt Benckiser, which is KY and Durex, they have similar products, but all they care about is putting substandard products out on the market, driving people to retail. They don't sell through their website. They don't care about their customers. They don't correspond with their customers. It's just all about, they use their, it's called channel power, okay? Mm-hmm. Because both of those companies are multi $18 billion companies. They have cleaning products. They have, you know, dental care products. They have this. They have sexual wellness products. So they, in some cases, in some stores, they have 120 SKUs, you know,
wow,
120 different products. So they go in and basically say, hey, we do $1 billion a year. Put us here, here, and here. And they put the products there. None of their products are revolutionary. They're all Me Too products, but they have that channel power. So they have a lot of resources for advertising. It's all about driving people to buy products because they become familiar in people's psyche from this constant stream of advertising and this promotional stuff. And they spend hundreds of millions of dollars a year advertising on Meta and advertising, you know, on Instagram, Facebook, you know, all these different things, and running Google ads. And they get special treatment because their mm-hmm. budget is hundreds of millions. Our budget is a million. So mm-hmm. we don't get, even though we're kicking their ass and we're really good and we're successful, trust me, that's with our hands tied behind our back in a straitjacket locked in a trunk. If it was a fair mm-hmm. fight and we didn't have the shackles placed on us that we have because mm-hmm. of being a small company, we would wipe their products to compete with us off of the map. Literally wipe them off of the map. But so I've learned, you know, in my last job, I never advertised. It was all intellectual knowledge that I had. And designing an integrated circuit, a computer chip, you don't advertise for that or put it on, you know, put it in Target. Even when we first broke in, it was so difficult for us to get in retail because these other companies were trying to keep us out. They knew we had a better product. They could tell by our repeat business and how we were doing on Amazon and everything. Mm-hmm. And so we had to fight extra hard until it was almost like the results were so overwhelming that people are like, oh, I can't deny this. You know, look at this. You know, like we outsell them on Amazon in a neutral marketplace by 4-1. But even on Amazon, we would get constantly taken down and have all these issues that were completely bogus. We have an Amazon specialist. That's all he does every day, is work on keeping our listings up and running and making sure if people knew the truth about how those sites operated, it curls your hair. It just, you're like, what? Like, that's just wrong. It is. It's absolutely wrong. You know, they'll say you can't advertise, you know, sexual wellness products. You can't run sponsored ads. You can't do this, can't do that. Then we see an exact similar product from one of these bigger companies. And I go, wait a second. Here is an email that we have in writing saying you can't advertise. How are they? Well, they have a special account with us, i.e. they spend a lot more money. So it's, you know, it's amazing to me because, you know, they have that movie that came out. Remember Too Big to Fail about the banking industry and stuff? They, you get to a certain size. Some of these companies are too big to fail. They suck. Their products aren't even good, but they get such special treatment because they have that size. They're this behemoth and they have that channel power and they're not afraid to use it to intimidate and to keep other companies down. And I find that wholly un-American, or what I used to think America stood for. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So if there are small business owners out there listening to this program, what advice would you give them in going out and competing with someone who's larger than you, given that there's this really unfair advantage that those who are giant, they just inherently have an unfair advantage over you?
Oh, I would say this with unabashedly, without fail, you have to be tenacious, absolutely tenacious. And you can never, ever, ever back off, ever. Okay. If you just work as hard as they do, you'll get crushed because they're bigger and stronger. And they make no mistake, they will pull levers intentionally designed to put you out of business and to make sure that you don't see the light of day. So you have to outsmart them. You have to outwork them. You have to be very nimble, and you can never back down. Never. You have to be a pit bull. You have to be tenacious. And I am every bit of that. And I know what I have, and I know that it works. I know it's the best product out there. I've had 4,000 urologists and therapists say this is hands down the best things out there. We have clinical trials to prove it. And even with all that being said, if I didn't have that pit bull mentality, if I didn't have that take no prisoners approach, I'm going to get to where we need to go. We would not be where we're at right now, even with the best product and even with everything else. It's sad. It really is sad.
Yeah.
But you don't have to acquiesce and you don't have to knuckle under, you know, and you don't have to feel like this is a fight I can't win. But I will tell you, you got to be sharp as a tack. And you have to be unrelenting, and you have to say, I will fight to the death.
But, you know, this is your second company. You were retired. You're in a position, you don't have to deal with this nonsense. So why do you still get up out of bed each day and give so much to this venture? I mean, it's like you said, you don't need the money.
I ask myself that very many mornings when I get up, I promise you, okay? And I can tell you that a lot of it is Ron Gilbert, his family. I send them dividend checks, and his wife is a very dear friend of mine. Every single time, you're amazing. I can't. It humbles me. There are times that I choke up because I'll do anything for them. My shareholders, whenever we send out a shareholder update, we send it. I get so many responses. I can't believe it after all we've been through and you did, blah, blah, blah. And that's what gets me up in the morning. That's what fuels me, you know, is people that I dearly love and I treasure. They believed in me. When we went out and we raised those funds and we did what we did, these people believed in me. And I take that very seriously. And I think it's a compliment. Because I know if I invest in someone, I truly believe in them and I trust them.
Right.
And I feel a certain debt to them, and I want to continue this. And I know this sounds kind of corny, but when Ron was murdered, we hadn't been anywhere yet in terms of retail. We were just on our own website, and we hadn't even started on Amazon yet. And I remember we went to lunch one day at this place called Market Broiler in Huntington Beach. We both lived there. And there's a Target right next door. We said, let's go look at the Target store, see what they have. And believe it or not, the sexual wellness section in Target, all they had was KY lubes. And it was more like a medicinal lube. It really wasn't. You know? And I'll never forget this. He said to me, You think we'll ever be in here? This was 2013. It was early January. He was murdered on January 27th of 2013. This was about 3 weeks before. And I said, I promise you, we'll be on this shelf one day. We will be in Target. You really think so? I said, I know so. This product works. And this space is going to evolve. And in September of 2016, we launched in Target. And I just happened to be visiting my son. I was back in Huntington Beach. I now live in Newport and Summerlin, Nevada. I have dual residence. I go back and forth. But I went into the store. The first time I saw that product in Target was in that store. And I walked down the aisle and I got emotional. And I looked, I saw it there. And out loud, don't ask me why, but out loud, I said, I told you that I would get us here. And it meant something to me. It really did. And I laugh because I think to myself, no, there were probably people that day that were shopping in that aisle, went home and said, there was some crazy dude talking all the space. You know what I mean? And but I, every time we launch in a new store, I think of him and I think, what do you think? Now, you know, we're in Target, we're in Walmart, we're in CVS, we're here, we're there, you know? And it's funny, we moved into this new building 4 years ago. And, you know, I'm the CEO, so I run the company and I'm not as involved in shipping, distribution. And so we needed more space. We moved into this 8,000 square foot corporate warehouse with 6,000 square feet of, you know, warehouse space. And I'll never forget this. I went and I said, we have a forklift? And they go, yeah, we get all this stuff off of the, you know, the income. Because when Ron passed, we had a big shelf in his office that had like 800 bottles of Promescent that we would ship them from there, you know? And all of us, because the company was doing $80,000 a year in business then. It's now up to $13 million. This year, we're going to be close to $15 million. And I literally was so shocked that we had a forklift. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, anyone could go buy a forklift. That doesn't mean you're successful. But the fact that we had grown to the point we had a forklift, and here comes this giant tractor trailer, and we're unloading pallets of this product, you know, was just amazing to me. And I thought of him. What would he think if he could see a giant forklift in this huge building with a Promescent sign on it, 8,000 square feet in Summerlin, Nevada, you know? And it meant something.
We just got a couple of minutes left. I'm curious, what do you see for the future of business in general? Like, you know, now AI is all over the place. Technology is what's hot right now. You know, a company in this sexual wellness space is not like, you know, what people are thinking about. Where do you see the future of your business and business in general going in the next few years?
I hate to say this, but it's going to be harder and harder and harder to have startups as we move forward for the reasons we already mentioned about the bigger companies. And they obviously are on the forefront of AI, and the bigger companies have bigger budgets. Right. And the AI companies, make no mistake about it, are going to fall into the same trap that Google and Amazon and Meta fall into, is, hey, these guys are paying us big bucks. We're going to, you know, we know where our bread is buttered. And we're going to, so they are going to go to the first part of the line when it comes to AI recognition and AI searches. They have the resources, and that's going to further reward behemoth big companies and make it much more difficult for smaller companies to get that space, just like it's very difficult for us in SEO. Like right now, it's very difficult for us to come up first in search, in Google search, for Promescent, or our own brand, because Amazon is given such preference in everything. Everything. Amazon is predatory. They're predatory. They literally, Amazon will literally buy the word Promescent, the search term, Promescent. So that when people search Promescent, they want them to buy it on Amazon than from us. So people listening to this podcast, if they go, and this to me is fundamentally wrong. It's just wrong. Okay. someone hears me through our efforts and they go, oh, I want to go to promescent.com and buy this product, they have to wade through Amazon in some cases before they find us because they're at the front of the list. I understand they have a marketplace. I understand they have same day delivery, you know, blah, 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 blah. But you can't get to the point where they become more searchable than we are for our own product.
Yeah, that's crazy.
They want everything to go through Amazon, everything. Yeah. I have neighbors in both residences here in Newport and in Summerlin. I swear to God, every other day I see a Prime box, a giant box on their front porch. They get their toothpaste, their shampoo, their every single thing is from Amazon. Yeah. I don't know if people understand. You're probably in your 50s.
I'm in my 60s.
Okay, so you're close to my age. Do you remember growing up where friends of yours, their parents were managers at, you know, hardware stores and were managers at Macy's and Bloomingdale's? And you know, that whole segment has gone away. Malls are a ghost town now, okay? Yeah. Strip malls, everything. We've lost a whole strata of businesses and jobs for people that were based in retail. And it's happening not just in retail. Restaurants are now having difficulties making a go of it because instead of people going there and eat, everyone has, you know, Uber Eats and DoorDash and Grubhub. And they don't understand you pay more and the restaurant gets less. If you go to True Foods Kitchen and you buy a grass-fed burger for $19.95, you're eating it there. You go to Grubhub and you pay $22.95. They mark it up to you $3. And they give them less. They make that whole capture, that whole thing. So restaurants are being squeezed.
Yeah. All right, Jeff. Unfortunately, we're going to have to leave it there.
Yes.
I do have to close out the show, but I really want to thank you for taking the time to come on the show. We'll have the link to directly to your website in our show notes. And really, I really honor you, the way you run the business, the integrity with which you do it, and with the standards and the values with which you instill into the company. So thank you so much.
It's my pleasure. That's that way because of Ron Gilbert. That's my man. That's my mentor. I think everyone needs to know who he was and how he lived. And I'm going to honor him by running this business in a fashion he'd be proud of.
Wonderful. Wonderful. And of course, thank you, my loyal listeners, for tuning in each week. Without you, there is no show. And if you did miss any part of today's show, you can always catch the replay on talkradio.nyc and on your favorite podcasting platform. Thank you all for tuning in. Take care. We will talk to you all next week. Are you a spiritual seeker? Are you interested in expanded states of reality? I'm Sam Leibowitz, your conscious consultant. And on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will dive into these topics with authors, teachers, researchers, and guides. Tune in at our new time, Wednesdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Wednesdays, 12 noon Eastern on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.